May the thoughts that burrow deep into our minds and the emotions that resonate down in our hearts all come from you, O God. Bless all that is said and sung and felt here today. Bless it all to your glory, Lord, and to our edification. We pray this solemn prayer to your listening heart. In the name of our always listening, always loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let your light shine. I wish I could have made the lights go up brighter at that moment just when saying that. Beloved in Christ, as we gather on this Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate the light that came into the world through the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. To paraphrase John's gospel, in him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. And his light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Y'all say cannot. Yeah, y'all gonna preach with me today. Cannot overcome it. Epiphany is the Christian day and season that celebrates the revelation of Jesus to the world as our Messiah, our Savior. So this season lasts 7 weeks. We'll be in Epiphany for 7 weeks, and it ends with Transfiguration Sunday, which this year happens on February the 15th, just before Ash Wednesday and before Lent. Now, we focus our celebration of Epiphany on the arrival of the wise men, or the Magi, as we call them. And scholars say they were probably learned strangers who came from the near and far east just to witness and honor the birth of Jesus as a king. They came because they observed signs of his royal nativity in the stars, and they were guided in their search for him by an especially radiant star that led them all the way to that little backwater town named Bethlehem. Now, other Christians use Epiphany to focus on Jesus' baptism as an adult by John the Baptist. That's when John reveals Jesus, there's Revelation, to others as the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world, because Epiphany is about revelation. And when Jesus is baptized, God sends down a dove as he also proclaims Jesus as his beloved son. We will celebrate that holy occasion of Jesus' baptism next Sunday, the second Sunday of the season of Epiphany, when we also celebrate our new member joining us and the reaffirmation of her baptism. So she's going to have a connection with Jesus next Sunday, celebrate his baptism and the reaffirmation of hers. Yeah, you're in some good company, Tori. So finally, some Christians in other parts of the world also choose to identify Jesus' first public miracle. That's when he turns water into wine at that crowded wedding feast in Cana as his Epiphany, his revelation before the world, because this is the first time people get to see him perform this miracle, this Messiah's miracle. So we don't celebrate that first miracle on a special Sunday, but we do recognize its significance. Nevertheless, I prefer to focus our Epiphany celebration on the Magi's revelation of Jesus' birth, because it celebrates God's hope-filled gift of a Savior in Christ, who brought divine illumination to a world shrouded in darkness, then and also now. You know, angels lit up the night sky to announce to the shepherds this new miraculous birth, and then a luminous star maintained its presence in the sky, probably day and night, because it was so bright, to lead the wise men to find this holy child so they too could share the good news of his coming into their parts of the world. So after their long star-led journey, the Magi, whom we just sang about, they return home to tell everyone what they have seen, that Jesus Christ, the prophesied King of the Jews and the immortal Son of God, is now born and living in the world. And this birth that is revealed to them, they in turn reveal it to the world. Epiphany. Y'all say Epiphany. Epiphany, yeah. That's not too much of a tongue twister, is it? I don't think so. If there was one more syllable, it would be. But now I want to shift my focus slightly from those wise men to us, yeah, us, to explore how we too can carry forth the good news of Jesus Christ, that he was born so that we might be reborn. How can we share that good news with those who don't know Jesus as their Savior? Oh, my Lord have mercy, yes. And how can we carry the light of Christ into our world, a world that has so much darkness today? Oh, doesn't it ever? A world that is profoundly in need of Christ's illuminating gospel. So much need. Jesus came into the world to give light to those who were stumbling in darkness, the darkness of ignorance, and then to give hope to those who were struggling from fear and oppression. Back then, it was the Roman Empire. Today, there's also fear and oppression. Those who were dangling from the precipice of life and death, he came to live and die for us so that we might learn how to live and die for him, and then to live anew in him and ultimately with him. Whew, talk about, what did Hamlet call that? A consummation devoutly to be wished. I like that ending, living with him. Y'all want to live with him one day? Yeah, then first you got to live in him, okay? And he in you. So in the spirit of Epiphany, I call on us all to be living witnesses who bear the light of love and hope that Jesus brought to us, who shine that light within our own hearts to illuminate our own lives, and then also shine it outward to illuminate the darkness that others feel in their lives. Do any of you remember that super popular children's movie, Frozen? That was 2013, too young for her, right? Too long ago for her. She loved it, really? Wow, yeah, Frozen. Right, who didn't? 2013, yeah. And also that much-loved theme song. Did you hear enough of it? Let It Go? Yeah, okay, everybody's nodding here. And Winslow, everybody knew it too. Yeah, because Let It Go. Yeah, the song that children wouldn't stop singing, right? Let It Go. Well, what Jesus wants us all to do is to, wait for it, let it glow. Yeah. Yeah, now Danny, I know that may sound corny. I see your eyes almost rolling, but it's the whole point behind the words that Jesus spoke in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Let it glow. Okay, what he said was, you are the light of the world, right? He tells the listening crowd this. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl or a bushel. No, instead, they put it on a light stand so it can give light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Yeah. In other words, let it glow. Right? You know? Say it to yourselves, in fact. Come on. I know I'm annoying you, but go ahead. Say it to yourselves. Let it glow. Let it glow. Yeah. And I don't mean say it to me. I mean say it to you. In fact, you know what? And it's like just saying, like, let your light shine. Right? So in fact, I'm going to ask each of you to say one or both of these two phrases to yourself several times a day. Try to remember, all right? When you haven't sit down to dinner, as soon as you get home, maybe in the car, whatever, before you go to sleep, you say your night prayers. Just say one of these two phrases or both of them. Just and not to anybody but yourself. Let it glow. Let your light. In fact, if you're in a situation where somebody's getting on your nerves, that doesn't happen on Sundays, right? Let it glow. Now, you may want to say, let it go, yeah. You may have to say that. But throughout this week, think about the light that's in your heart. Like the light, maybe what light is still left over from Christmas or New Year's. And say, let it glow. Let my light shine. But how do we do that? How do we let our light shine? How do we let it glow? Well, we must learn to receive and value and then share. Can you all say those three words for me? Receive, value, and share, because those are three key words of this sermon. With others, the light of Christ that Christ gave us, the light of love and hope. So we receive and then share it. Who was here for Christmas Eve service at Grace Union? Because I was at Winslow, yeah? Did you all do the lighting of the candles during Silent Night? Of course, that's a tradition, right? Okay, well, it's the same thing. You know, when you share the light of your candles, when the sanctuary is dark, right? The sanctuary is darkened, right? And then you each light each candle and everything. So then you sing Silent Light. So if you remember that moment, you remember how you illuminated the darkness in the room simply by sharing the light of one candle with another. Wasn't that nice? Yeah, just sharing the light with one candle, passing the light, right? So to let our light shine, we must first receive the gift of love that Christ offers us. And John 1:12 tells us, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's a right beyond all rights. I mean, I know we want our political rights, we want our human rights and everything. We want our rights in the household, you know, whatever, but most of all, we want the right to become the children of God, which we are. So this gift is not just for a select few. It's for all who believe. And so when we accept Jesus in our lives, we are filled with his love and his grace. I mean, you can, when you really, not really, I mean, really accept Jesus in your life, you feel that. You feel his love. You feel his grace. And his love transforms us from the inside out and then enables us to reflect his light outward to a world that desperately needs it. inside out. I won't ask you to repeat that. I want to, but I won't. Once we have received Christ's love, we must learn to value it and value the hope that comes with it. So in a world filled with despair and uncertainty, and isn't our world filled with despair and uncertainty right now? Hope can be a powerful force, can it? Don't you agree with that? Hope. I mean, if anybody in here doesn't have something they're hoping for, especially at the beginning of a new year, and maybe some things you want to change from the last year, or some things that didn't happen the last year, you really want them to happen this year, hope. And if you really, really have hope, not a wish, not a, oh, maybe, you know, no, I mean a hope. It can be a powerful force. I almost lost my place, right? You know, and Hebrews 6:19 reminds us that we have this hope as an anchor, folks, for the soul. It's firm and secure. That's the kind of hope you want, the one that just doesn't flitter away. No, no, no. It's a hope that you feel each day, you know, and just waiting for it to come true, but you don't let it go. You don't let it dissipate somebody. You don't let somebody dissuade you or make you think or diminish it and say, nah, that ain't going to happen. No, no. You have that hope, and you have it like an anchor in your heart that you just know and believe it's going to come true. When we truly value the hope that Jesus brings us, we can become steadfast in our faith and resilient to any trials that we face, any. His light of hope, just like the radiant sun in the sky, can give us and other people the vision that's needed to see new possibilities, right? That's the light that Jesus gives us, just like the sun in the sky, because the sun in the sky, you step outside, you can see, it gives you vision, right? And then Jesus's light can also give us, like the sun in the sky, maybe not so much today, maybe later this week, but give you that warm feeling that comes from simply being accepted. I got another sermon I'm going to preach one day on accept your acceptance, on simply being accepted and feeling encouraged. We should all value Christ's gift of hope that can inspire that vision that we can see possibilities and the encouragement that we can believe in them. Amen? So finally, this hope is meant to be shared, received, valued, and shared. We are called to share the light of hope that Christ brings us with everyone around us to become, well, to become what you were that night when you passed the candle lights along, to become light bearers. That's what you are. That's what we are, light bearers. We bear the light. We pass on our hope to others who need hope, like sharing candlelight in the darkness. Now, I was writing, beginning this sermon Thursday night, and I kind of finished it last night, yesterday, maybe this morning. I kept tweaking it. But I started Thursday night, and I was watching the 2025 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony on television. Anybody else watch that? I was trying to watch something I didn't have to pay really close attention to because I'm working on a sermon. Said, Joe, that either has to be a football game that I'm half paying attention to and I can always replay what if anything interesting happens. And a concert like that, because I wasn't into all the people they were inducting. But I learned quite a bit about, like, I didn't know Bad, I knew Bad Company songs. I didn't know that was Bad Company. I was like, oh, okay, they made that hit, you know, and everything. And so I really enjoyed more of it than I thought I would. But anyway, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induct, always a great program. I enjoyed the musical performance, but I really enjoyed the fearless, irrepressible Cyndi Lauper. Y'all know Cyndi Lauper? Remember Cyndi Lauper? Yeah, those hits she made? Yeah, some time ago. Well, she finally got inducted, yeah? And she performed some of her biggest hits. And at one point, she asked the audience. In fact, she demanded, because that's Cyndi, right? She demanded, because they were reluctant, that the audience take out their cell phones. Turn on the flashlight apps. You know, that takes maybe two or three things you got to do, like on mine, and hold them up high to show their flashlights, right? I'm not going to turn mine on because I'm recording. So hold them up high. Some were reluctant, but she insisted. And when they all did it, you could see all those cell phone lights shining in that dark theater. Have y'all seen that? People, concerts do that all the time, right? A lot of times Prince does that, share your light and everything. Y'all seen that before on TV, right? Or even if you've been at a concert. I don't know, Terry and Joe, you might go to concerts all the time. I don't know. But anyhow, the cell phone lights all lighting up the theater and everything. What a sight it was, right? Yeah. And then she said to them, she said this, and she said it with a deep passion that was surprising, a deep awareness, because you could tell she was speaking out of her heart. She was speaking out of her life. See, I kind of broke up at Winslow, didn't I? I started getting teary, and I didn't mean for that to happen. But she said, remember, folks, we're a community of lights. We're a community of lights. And she said, that's important. Pray for me, Patty. That's important because it gets really dark sometimes. What a powerful manifesto of mercy that was. She said, because it can get really dark sometimes. It was like saying, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, especially in the dark. When they need your light. Come on, John. When they need your light, they need your goodness the most. And then Cindy began singing her 1983 hit song, Time After Time. Y'all remember Time After Time? Yeah, that was her other big hit. And she was joined in a duet by the British vocalist named Ray. I just learned about her recently. And she came on and they sang it together. And it was beautiful, especially her refrain. Where she says, sings, where they sing, if you're lost, you can look and you will find me time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting time after time. I can just imagine Jesus echoing Cyndi Lauper's words and saying to all of us, you are a community of lights. And that's important because, well, you know like I know that it can get really dark in this world sometimes. Really dark. We should be that community of lights for others who face darkness each day, receiving and then valuing and then sharing the gift of light that Christ gives to us, but also recognizing and valuing and sharing God's gift of our special talents and our abilities. I told the Winslow congregation, I said, yeah, in the beginning of the year, preacher's supposed to take that opportunity to preach on stewardship of talents and encourage people to discover their gifts and begin to maybe find a way to use their gifts for the benefit of the church. That's one of those stewardship messages and everything. And so I'm going to do that in a sense in these words. So we should receive, recognize, because we all have them, but we don't always recognize our gifts. I've taken a spiritual gifts inventory some years ago. I don't know any of you have. Discovered what my gifts were, everything, but especially my spiritual gifts. But we should do that and recognize them and then use them, what we've been given, to serve Christ's church. Whether those talents are in music or art, in cooking, in reading and speaking or writing, we have people in this church using their talents in just these ways, in teaching or in building and repairing things, you know, if you have that talent, or managing business and finances, or even parenting or childcare. Now, I call those natural abilities, right? Natural talents. But they're also, in addition to those natural talents, we should learn, value, and share our spiritual gifts, which God gives us and the Holy Spirit will awaken in us. So we find those spiritual gifts listed in several places in Scripture. I won't get into them today, maybe a future sermon, but they include gifts of serving. There are people who just have a gift of serving, or the people who have a gift of leading others, people who have a gift of teaching, which I mentioned before, or spiritual gifts of being generous. Generosity sometimes is a spiritual gift. That means people who just can't help themselves, they just have to give. They look for opportunities to give, you know, and they give generously. Or the spiritual gift of encouragement. Yeah, that's a gift. Or being helpful to others. And one of the gifts is simply called the helps, the gift of helps. Well, kind of weird, but anyhow, it's just being naturally and spiritually helpful to others. Whatever our God-given talents and spiritual gifts are, we should first try to recognize them and then value them because they're important and then share them. Why? Well, because that's how we let our light shine before others. There, right? That's how we do it, and as Jesus commands us. And that is how others will recognize God's gifts in us. Sometimes you use your spiritual gift, and you may not know it, and somebody's watching you, and they say, you have a gift for that, and it may be a spiritual gift. You know, it's the way somebody kind of quiets down a child, you know, in just the right way, or gives someone encouragement or something like that. You have a gift for that, you know, and then others will recognize those gifts in us. And then you know what they'll do? If they recognize especially a spiritual gift, they don't glorify us. We don't want them to glorify us. We want them to glorify God. That should always be our ultimate goal, the glorification of God. So the Apostle Peter in his first epistle tells us this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's abundant grace that comes in various forms. The King James Version calls manifold gifts. That just means it comes in many different forms. So now I can express Peter's prescription to you more simply and even musically, God help me, in the words of that popular song, This Little Light of Mine. We recognize that, right? Y'all know it. Why don't you sing it with me for a minute? We're just going to sing one verse. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yeah, thank you. Amen. Craig told me, Craig James after church at Winslow taught me some more verses and some choreography. He said, I am not going to let the devil, this little light of mine. You know, it was really cute. And then I'm about to put the bushel. I need to learn. It sounds like a camp song, right? Yeah. But anyhow, when that happens, when we let our light shine before others to glorify God, wow, right? What an abundant blessing will come over us. When people see your good deeds that benefit others, and especially when we testify that the love of Christ is the reason and the inspiration for our good deeds, then just watch what might happen next. Because then when we start telling them, maybe we'll tell them that about this Christ whom we know and love and who inspires us to serve others. Yeah, that's what we should do. But when people see somebody doing something, what makes you do that? Christ, the love of Christ compels me. That's a phrase out of the Bible. The love of Christ compels me to do this. And then if we tell them earnestly about our church, where we love and learn about Christ, and as we worship God and love one another, then watch what happens. They just might want to come to your church, right? They might want to come to our church because you tell them about this church and how you learn to love God and love Christ and love others at this church. They want to come see. They want to come. What's that word, that phrase in Hamilton? They want to see, be in the room where it happens, right? They want to be in the room where it happens. And when they do, they'll witness how wonderfully and devoutly we worship and serve the Lord here. And also how earnestly we love and pray for one another here. And remember what Jesus says in John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's simple. You don't need a whole lot of evidence that you're one of Jesus' disciples. Just let them see you loving one another. These words by Jesus inspired a very popular hymn. I don't know if you know it. It goes, they will know we are Christians by our love. That's the title of a great hymn. And I won't sing that one. They will know we are Christians by our love. That's all the evidence you need to let people know that you follow Christ. Our loving actions, whether in our worship or in our prayers or our testimonies of what God has done for us, in our offerings that we give, and in our ministries, all of our loving actions speak volumes about our active faith and about the source of our light. And collectively, we shine that light of Christ just like the early Christian church did, that which was led by the first apostles in Acts 2. I'm almost done. When we serve others with love and kindness, Christ's light shines brightly and deeply into our souls, no matter how dim or dark our souls may feel at times. And then we shine that light of Christ out into the world, like passing along the light of those candles on Christmas Eve. Same thing. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Sisters and brothers, let us live as children of light, right? That is our progeny. That is our inheritance. That is our identity as Christians. Let us live as children of light. Let us dispel the darkness that we see before it gets there. Let's just live as children of light and send forth the darkness. So let us be intentional in our efforts to be, what does Cindy call it? That community of lights, especially during Epiphany, the season of light, but even beyond Epiphany, to be that light for others each day, time after time, right? Let's shine our little light with others in need, others who languish in darkness, and let us offer them hope and support and encouragement. Let your spiritual gift emerge and touch the lives of others. And let us offer them the light and love of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true light of the world. Help us to receive his love fully, to value his hope deeply, and to share his light boldly. May our lives reflect your glory and draw others to you. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to be vessels of your love and hope in a world that needs it so desperately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.